the guys, other guys all hand out flyers and they give you a flow through their notes. My highlight is just how weird my brain works. Okay? So, like, it might not mean anything to you. It might not mean anything to me. Sometimes I mark stuff and I don't know why I marked it 3 days later. It hits. It's like, oh, that's what it's about. But anyway, so the first... I've always been told I was crazy enough. So, use more notes. You're sitting and listening. Just kidding. Let's pray. Father, we do just ask you to settle our hearts before you right now. Lord, we as your body need to hear what the head said, saying. So give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, that we be open and yielded to you. And Lord, I pray that you would increase the love we have for you, so we can run harder to you. And we know that takes a greater revelation of the love you have for us. So we ask that you reveal yourself to us so that we might know you more. In Jesus' name. Okay. So if you guys flip through here real quick, you're going to see that there's not many things that I typed. Like my words are not in here. So you got 6 pages of notes with me not saying anything. You want to read it and try and figure it out on your own? No? You can't understand on your own. You won't understand it. But you can. So, I'm very many things have been a little struggling with this because I think I know what the Lord's asking of me through these scriptures. But I wanted to read all 3 sections because this is the same event from 3 perspectives. And so I believe it gives us a greater picture of what's happening. I have some highlights of some different things. A lot of them are the same. Or I started to highlight all the same, but there's too much highlight going on. So there's a lot of things that are exactly the same, and there's a lot of things, there's quite a few things in these 3 portions of Scripture that are not the same. They don't take away, but they all add. And so, the desire is to give a full representation of what's happening. So, with that said, Luke 18:18-30 is what I'd like to talk about today, which brings into Matthew 19:16-30 and Mark 17:31, and they're just launching points. So, I would like to read those 3, and they are before you. I have highlighted some things that are extra in each part, so it kind of builds the story. So, I kind of did that so I wouldn't forget. So, would you like to, anybody want to read Other Man? I know she likes to, but. Or one.
Thank you. don't.
And our same Bible wants to read. All right.
Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which one?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and your father, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Now, as he was going out the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" And his disciples were astonished at these words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." And Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
Thank you. Anything there? All right. Don't mind me. I'm trying to figure this out. So I did. We're going to go down through here. Some things are out of order with my numbering and some verses and stuff like that. But there's a lot here that I think is really sweet. And first off, when I came to this and I started looking at this, I started asking myself, we have a conversation between the man and Jesus, and yes, it's public. So let's just look at it as public prayer. With someone coming to the Lord that has something, a burden on their heart, and they come to the Lord and ask. And when He responds, it is prayer. I think many times we talk about what is prayer, I need to go pray and all. It's a conversation with the Lord. So just simply, let's just start there. Understand that this man came, understanding he had a need, that he was lacking. And he came and talked to Jesus. So as we come into this, we need to realize the way Jesus responded to this man is the way he always responds when you come and ask him a question. And that is, see, I'm not even going to be able to find it. And what, I think it's Mark. Yes. He looked at him, and he loved him. This is the one key that all of us need to come to a place and understand that God loves the world. And His desire is for you to come to Him with the burdens that are on your heart. And His desire is to speak to you. As we learn, it's not always what we want to hear. So, Jesus comes at him and his response is always in love. That means he believes all things. Jesus is responding and bearing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things. Meaning that as this man comes, he believes that he's treating him as a person of sincerity. Because he believes all things and hopes all things and believes that he's asking out of sincerity. Does he know? Nowhere in here does Jesus say, get away from me, you're not sincere. Okay? So there has to be a sincerity there that the Lord, that this man came up. I wanted to show you the Matthew video of this. Like read the two and then show you the other one. But they messed up. They had the guy coming in on a horse to talk to Jesus. Mark told us that he came up and ran to him and fell down before him and knelt before him. So I was like, can't do that. But anyway, that's not a big deal. I love the representation of the Matthew videos of the how I feel Jesus walked when he spoke to people. So maybe it's the way I see love. But one of the things that we do find out that this is just a simple thing out here. We see that what Jesus said to them was something. When he said that he looked at him and loved him, he said, "There's one thing you're lacking. Look." If you're counseling anyone and you're talking to anyone, first allow it not to be for you to be right, but that they need their love. And then it's okay to point out things that are wrong. Jesus pointed out something that's wrong. So in a world of today that we can't say one thing's wrong with you, Jesus said there's one thing you lack. So it is okay when you're moved with the heart of love to speak the truth in love that we may all grow in all things, right? It's how people respond to love.
But before you get to that, the question, I don't think he knows who he's talking to. He's not talking to him like the Messiah, like the Savior.
But he knows he's coming to someone who can teach him about everlasting life. Yeah, no, yeah, I agree with that because he's looking at him as a teacher. Right. Because when he comes to Jesus, but I'm trying to get a mindset not, so we can settle in our hearts that this is how Jesus always deals with everyone. That, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at that. Because is Jesus telling this man that he's not good? When he says no one good, but one, that's God. I think he's stretching him. He doesn't say, don't call me good, or teach, Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. He wants to get in from a place where we stop coming to Jesus for teaching to a place where we see Him as God. I believe that's what He's teaching here. He's stretching this man. He's stretching his faith. A lot of people come to church because they'll hear words from the Lord to be have a good teaching. Jesus says, follow me. Don't look for a good teacher. You have an anointing from the Father, right? You have an anointing teacher. The Holy Spirit teaches. So we don't need to be running after good teachers. We need to be running towards Jesus. I think there's a lot of little things in here that speak to me. So we can agree on some of them. We do learn that he's a ruler. He's young, right? Luke tells us he's a ruler. Matthew tells us he's a young ruler. And all of them tell us he had a lot of money, great possessions. So he comes to Jesus and says, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? When you seek this question, or read this question, one of the things that I find that many people in this world, and even in Christianity and in the church, they're looking for an eternal place instead of an eternal life. What will I do to inherit eternal life? We're looking to get a checklist. A lot of people, I'm not saying most of us in here, but sometimes we do. What must I do? Somebody comes to you, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What's your answer?
Believe.
It's just belief. You can't. Actually, the answer is that we should say what Jesus said. Be perfect.
He wanted to be perfect. Jesus didn't want to be perfect. He wanted to do what good thing. So he wanted perfection. He wanted to be.
Shouldn't we always want to do what's right?
But, he's really asking the wrong question, but Jesus goes along with
them. Right, and I think his question is asking because he's looking for something future rather than a present reality of eternal life. I believe that there's too many of us, many times, we're looking for a future eternal life rather than the one that's right here with you now.
And I know only Jesus knows the heart of man, but with Jesus' answer, is it basically, this is a question and an observation combination, like, is he basically saying you will never be ruled over because your trust is in your riches, or your hope is in the wrong thing, because we know that a person, say today, is like, okay, I'm just going to give away all my wealth, and I'm going to, that isn't the answer of how you get to Jesus.
Can be.
What's that?
It can be.
Not if you don't enter into your heart.
Right.
It's like having a house clean that instead of even far worse, move in. So,
right, to the first.
So it's not a formula. I've just got to get rid of all my riches and that proves that.
Correct. Right. You're getting ahead of me.
Okay.
But knowing that guy's heart, the key.
Right.
Riches and his
power
is what his hope is in. So if he was willing to trade that would be.
While Jesus pinpointed the thing that messed with him, what he was holding on to. One thing you lack. But I can tell, ultimately, when I look at this, that, we're going to wait. What thing did he lack? He told him to be perfect. See, and that's the truth. If you want to enter into the kingdom, just be perfect. And when you come to a place you realize you can't, you better come to Jesus and say, now what? Right? Because that's the truth. There is nothing that I can do. I cannot be perfect. Even if he was perfect from the time he talked to Jesus and did everything right before, he still messed up ahead of time. And I can prove it in the scriptures. In these. So, just keep these things in mind.
Remember the verse right before this, what Jesus just told them. They were bringing...
The children, something like
that. They were bringing little babies, nursing babies.
little tiny infant, helpless, and I think that was meant to be a picture. And he said, "You have to be like a child to enter. Like you have to be needy. You know, so like the self-sufficient Pharisee guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
But the cool, that's why I like it, because Jesus turns around, looks out of the Matthew and says, children. John got it. When you see someone, an older woman, she's mother, treat her as your sister, your brother, children. And when I did the cross, Jesus looked at John and said, behold your mother. I'm saying these things because I'm going to get you to a point later to see. That's why I get many things going through my head. But he wants them to follow. But a lot of the things you guys are saying, are like, I have things that are looping in my head. Like, I have to, like, come back to bring about a point where many different things falling apart, I don't know. But he looked at them and said, children. See, Jesus looks at the world, well, either as a lost son or daughter, or a found one. All humanity has been created in the image of God with the potential to be a child of God. And so when Jesus is looking and talking to each person, his desire is that they will respond and receive and become a child with childlike faith, right? So we bring it back to the little ones before there. So he teaches us as little children. He makes it simple. One thing. Let's keep it simple. It's just one thing. Be perfect. No, you can't. The one thing that we find throughout all these stories, and we'll make it simple, follow me. Do you know what's interesting? If somebody is really seeking after the Lord and wants to know Him, this is the answer He says to everyone. Follow me. Do you want to enjoy eternal life? Follow me. All the stuff in between there, or decisions we have to make. But when we come, we lay down, and we seek Him, and we ask one thing, what must I do? The answer is always, you can forget about all the little things in between, it's always, follow me. No one can come to the Father unless he's been drawn. Everyone who comes doesn't always like the answers, and they don't receive. You can come and not receive. The outcome of this man, we don't know. That moment, he went away sorrowful. What happened after that, we don't know. But every day, as each of us come before the Lord, and we ask Him the questions of our heart, we have an opportunity to hear what He's saying, receive it, walk by faith, and follow Him, or we can walk away sorrowful. Because the pinpointed area that He touched in our lives, by faith, we don't want to agree. Because we want to hold on to our riches, to our own understanding, to our own knowledge. So one of the things that's funny is, what must I do to inherit? Inheritance has come after death. So Jesus responds, come take up your cross. In Mark is important. If you want to follow the Lord, you have to deny yourself. Your own understanding. It's a walk of faith, of resting and trusting and believing. Is it easy? No. If we don't know Him, it's hard. You know, the more you know Him, the easier it is to surrender. Because eventually you learn to find out where He's telling you to die, and you agree that you get to walk in and enjoy life. When I surrender and say no to my flesh, and I pick up my cross and follow Him, I am in life. I'm experiencing eternal life, and I will see the Lord moving, and I don't get to know Him more. If I'm following after Him, Keep in mind, when Jesus said, told him to go sell everything and do everything, that wasn't the main point of following him. You see, the thing that man was lacking was his possessions. If you come before the Lord, just leave that blank and let him fill it in. If there's something there, he loves you enough to point it out. Don't go searching for it. You might think you're lacking, but don't go try to put your finger on it. Let him put it in there. Seek him. Lord, I know I'm not saved. I mean, this is an eternal life question. This guy knew he didn't have eternal life. He was not saved. He was humble enough to come and ask. You see, we can all be, this man we find is very religious, man of honor, very good guy. But he lacked one thing. See, we can do all kinds of religious things. Did Jesus tell him you did not fulfill the commandments that he talked about? Anywhere in there, Jesus didn't say, no, you didn't. I remember on this day, in the middle of the night, no one hung around, and then you cursed your parents. Or said that, or, you know, he doesn't do that. Guess what? He doesn't do it for you either. We come to him and we seek him and ask him. And he responds with love and he's able to point that place out. And it's up to us to willingly by faith receive it and walk it. I'm not saying here, go sell all your stuff and you'll have eternal life. What he said is the things that you have great possessions. And the truth is, each of us possess our own vessel. And we have many great possessions. And I believe that the Lord wants you to present your vessel as a living sacrifice. To be willing and yielded to be poured out like a drink offering. But that only comes from going after him. It's not what you do or don't do, other than faith, working it out through love. It's not easy. So somebody, Andrew, you said, that's not the answer. But it is for people who are holding on to great possessions. Anything. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, that you may have eternal life. To be sincere enough with your own self, whatever is causing you, that you're holding on to, and you are trusting in other than Christ, is him is limiting you in your walk with Christ. It could be your Bible knowledge. It could be, I give to the poor. I do this. I do that. It doesn't matter. Are you dying daily? Are you picking up your cross and following after him and walking with him, resting, knowing that he loves you, and as you walk with him, he reveals himself to you and continues to provide, show himself strong on those behalf of those who believe, right? But there, some people took it literally, and that's why I have it in here. Acts 4, 32 to 35. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that anything he possessed was his own. But they all had, this is why I read these long portions. But they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord. The great grace was upon them all, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who possessors of land or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. So, was it literal? I say yes.
It's like plural, you know? It's one little detail that I noticed, that it's plural. They have houses, land.
We're getting to that, too.
They didn't tell a house, okay, kids, you're out on the street, we're giving it, you know. I mean, you couldn't do any, you couldn't help them.
So, okay, we're going to get into that in a second, because it's kind of interesting. I'm saying that if the Lord called, put the finger on your heart about great possessions, I'm saying get rid of them and trust them. That's what he just said. If you're holding on to anything else and your trust is in anything else other than Christ alone, get rid of it. I think he said that. I think it's plain. Is it easy? No. We have a choice. Just like this man, can I walk away? Can I go hard after eternal life? Do I want to know? Or am I going to hold on to me and walk away sorrowful because I know I'm going to bring harm? Again, I'm going to trust in me. Did I know that? It's a sobering, it's sober for me. To live a life surrendered unto the Lord and realizing, I don't have anything. She's not mine. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Am I willing to surrender? Because I'm promised that I'll enjoy land. What it was actually meant for. That I might know Christ and make Him there. That's what we're here for. Break it all down. Why am I here? To know Him and to allow His love to come forth, form out of my life, so that the people who don't know Him can see Christ and want Him. That's all we can do. Surrender. These people, yes, but guess what? Sometimes when people are walking in love and just doing what they feel like the Lord's leading on their heart to do, and selling everything because they realize that that was where they were lacking, they were trusting in possessions. Ananias and Sapphira come up. Ooh, look at us, we just did it too. Right? See, there's an opportunity to say, oh, look, I can make it look like and try to seem like I'm spiritual, but I can hold back. So I'm not saying that that's the answer. But if he pinpoints it on your heart, it is. And don't let someone out. Someone else's answer turn you into like Ananias and Sapphira, where you want to seem spiritual, but hold back. I know that there's a lot of other lessons in there, but the letter is death. The spirit is life. I can come to these words and walk away dead. Where I can let the Holy Spirit lead me and trust that God loves me. He wants to reveal Himself to me. He wants to open up eternity for me that I can walk in today and know Him. There is a real kingdom we will go to. But you don't wait to get there to enter it. We walk in it today. I don't know where I am. Any thoughts?
Just remember what the Lord said before. He said, go and sell it all. He said, if you want to be perfect,
right.
If you want to be perfect, go do this. Jump through these hoops.
Right.
And then you'll find out how hard it's impossible.
Right.
So going away sad wasn't so bad. The guy knew he lacked eternal life somehow.
He knew he lacked. But
yeah, he knew he lacked it. He knew he had everything.
And I think, truthfully, if we look in the mirror, we all know there's areas we have lacked.
But I mean, that's the big one. Like, where am I going to go? You know, he wanted eternal life. And he knew that. He knew that.
But I think, like, for me,
he was a pretty good guy. He thought, I've done everything right.
Right.
So he knew something.
Exactly. And I think we're all in that same position. Like, I have eternal life because I know Him and I'm His Son, but guess what? I know I'm still lacking more of Him. And so as I keep walking with him, he's going to keep putting that one thing, that we need to just say no to, so I can surrender more and trust him. And all that comes from not out of a letter of like, that it's out of light knowing that he knows best. And by faith, I believe him, so I'm going to trust him. It's not a work. It's a surrender. It's a yielding and trusting and following him.
It's a work of grace.
It's his work of grace in us, like the book.
If
the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's.
He's the author and perfecter of our faith. So he initiates.
Right.
He draws our, like you said a minute ago, he draws our hearts to the point of lack.
Yep.
I think one of the keys in this passage, though, is the fact that the things that are impossible for man, they're impossible. It's impossible. You can't
save yourself.
But with God, all things are possible through his Son. And that's, I think that's the main point of the whole thing, really.
And there's some great promises in there for those who...
There are.
Right. Look, there's a lot more to this.
But I think it's like presenting the Lord as a God of grace and a God of possibility.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's impossible for man, but it's possible for God.
So whatever you're lacking today, and if you're not, you might want to rejoice. Whatever it is, though.
I'd like to make another comment. I think it's pretty cool that this principle is kind of peppered into this passage about the fact that every future promise has a present day fulfillment. And like you say, we can walk in it now. I think that's kind of peppered in here. That's a reality.
Correct.
Because if we had to wait to the end of our life to start enjoying peace and rest and grace, and it would be like, what's the point? Like, it's all for today. All, you know, the coming of Christ to you can be today.
Jesus wants to reveal himself to you every day.
Yeah, it's like a future, it has a future fulfillment.
Right.
But for now, there would be no benefit to be a Christian and follow him if you didn't receive it now.
Right. Pritchard?
Yeah, I want to say something. You know, I question the fact that under grace, and of course grace was in numbers, faith was that the Messiah had died. They were to look forward to the Messiah. We look back to the Messiah, what he did on the cross. But the thing is it hard to be saved? I would say, no. I think we might have made a mistake. Let's think about this. Is there something we can do? Absolutely not. We cannot do anything in a labor way. Now, a lot of people, we know we work for our job, we earn wages, and we take that check when he hands it to us because we did it all for him. Well, the Lord gives strength for admit that. But we earn that check. But eternal life cannot be earned by the efforts of mankind. And it's all as a result of grace, but through trusting in him. And the people, the rich young ruler, I don't even believe he believed, he had a problem, he didn't believe in him as the Messiah. He believed it a good master. They always said that a lot of times. You hear say good master, like good person. What must we do? We recognize you're from God. But then they wouldn't even want to say that he was God. Then they walked away from him. Because they didn't have faith and they wouldn't believe. But what I want to say is it's impossible to save yourself. And they asked, they said, what must I do? They thought they could do something to earn eternal life or to give them a place in heaven. But Jesus, he answered them back. He said, go sell all you have and give your, to the good rich young ruler. And give to the poor,
you know, you want to ask me a works question, I can say, okay, I can answer you back, but it's more to that. It's impossible for a man to save himself. That's the point.
But it's as simple as a child can receive.
Yeah, but it's so simple. I wonder whether in this day and time and in other days before us and generations past, that many people have made it very difficult, and I know it could be challenging with all the burdens of life, but yet the Lord has paid it all. He did all the work on Calvary's cross. He shed the precious blood. He did everything he could to grant you a right into heaven, and yet we're thankful we that are saved. We're blessed and we're satisfied because we have him, but the man was doing everything he could, but then he was not willing to give up what he had. But yet he still, like you said, his heart wasn't right, but he never trusted in the Lord. He didn't exercise faith. And that's where he comes short. And Jesus was fulfilling the law. He was sharing the law says do. I think the law says do now. Do people do things? Yes, they do. But at the same time, I believe grace is shouting out, done. He did the work what we couldn't do. He's done it.
Right.
How simple is that? All we've got to do is recognize we're a sinner if we're lost and say, here am I, Lord. I recognize that I am condemned. I recognize that I need you because the convicting power of the Holy Spirit has shown me that I need Christ. And then they come to the end of yourself. They surrender. They come to Christ and they're trusting. Mm-hmm. It's not what you can do, but just come as you are, like the song would say. And if they would come and let go of everything and drop what they got, they could have been saved. But they thought they had to work, and religions are teaching you that it isn't just grace. They said that's a dirty word because the fact of it's too simple. We've got to do something. It's grace plus works or whatever. But all the point I want to say is that it's so simple. I think it's easy when he makes it easy. Now, we can't make ourselves safe, or we can make it hard or easy. We just got to recognize it. When I got saved,
it's impossible, but simple.
Yeah, he broke it.
Impossibly simple.
He did it all. He had to break me down, but he gave me the understanding that you're in trouble.
Right.
You know, Holy Spirit was saying, you're lost, you know? So I recognize that this is true. So then I said, I'm not going to stay here and leave myself lost. I got up. I had my mind made up because the Lord gave me the reasoning. You better get something done about this. You got to come to realization. You got to trust me. That's when I got up and I made an effort. When I say effort, it worked. It was just, I was just coming willingly because he made me willing, and I came freely, and I received Christ freely, and now
he gets to reveal himself and enjoy it more.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. But, when you think about how hard, you know, you can take a thing on to yourself where you think, I got to do something. Or maybe I fell short, my standard's short. I can never meet that standard, but you'll see yourself helpless.
Or you can beat yourself up and walking away sorrowful.
Yeah, when you see the triumphant, a reigning Savior that's ruling in kindness and love, revealing who he is, if they only seen him for who he was, they could have been saved. But I think they missed the mark. You know, they were thinking they got to do something. Yeah.
And then
he wants eternal life. He wants, he's asking for eternal life, and he's speaking to the one who is eternal life. He's not coming to Jesus for eternal life. He wants to know how. Like remember the verse 18:9? People who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt.
Mm-hmm.
They are not justified. It's that's what this guy is, you know, he doesn't know who he's talking to. Like
he's built, this is all building blocks. Like
increase
your faith.
I bet he that nags him. I bet he came back to the Lord, you know, but it doesn't tell him. I bet that, you know, because that was something that was, I mean, he had everything. That just goes to prove you could have everything in the world. You know, like, well, I wish I was that guy, right?
Some of the most famous and rich people were some of the most suicidal.
Yeah.
miserable, right?
Miserable. Robin Williams.
Bill Gates.
Well, there's a lot of them. But the truth is we're all miserable when we know we're not walking in truth and reality. We realize lack. A couple of things real quick, because I know we're getting late. I wanted to point out where Jesus met him. Jesus took this man from, I believe, the spirit, or the leper wall in Matthew, and put it to the spirit. When he said to him, whoop, now I can't get back. Sorry. Forget that idea.
I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
Unless I'm missing something here, Mark paints a really beautiful picture that the other ones really don't. They're complete, but Mark's. It says here in 21, he loved him.
Yeah.
He loved the man.
That's got to start everything off.
That's really doesn't, you don't see it in the other ones, but right. See that what he's doing here is teaching his disciples because the passion is coming, if you read ahead.
So it's coming, yeah.
He's getting his disciples ready, and they're really lacking. And it starts at 22, he was saying that, and Jesus looked around about, the other ones I'm saying, he looked around, and he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? He's not asking a question, he's in fact statement.
Yeah.
And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them to trust in riches.
Mm-hmm.
And riches enter into the kingdom of God. And he goes on, 25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished how it was measured. That's what got me. He said it twice in Mark's gospel.
Yeah.
They were really astonished.
Look,
they're learning.
Exactly, and here's my point. And you see that they learn because we have the rest of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Look, guys, the church is screwed up in philosophy, doctrine, walking with Jesus. That's what the rest of from John is. He who has an ear, let him hear. He who overcomes. It's a lot of corrective stuff in the New Testament and Revelation that Paul deals with, and the other writers. They never understood, but they walked by faith. God's not asking you to understand and have all knowledge. He's saying, trust me, because I do. I want to point out a promise for those who say, I don't want to sell off everything and go hard after Jesus. Just to give you an idea, because you and your family can relate. It is in Matt. When Jesus says, everyone who has left houses and mothers and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and wives and children and land, book the wrong one. I think it is in Mark.
That's Mark.
That's Mark again. Should listen there. Sorry, it says the same thing. Who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time? Houses. Mother, or I can't read, brothers, sisters, and mothers, and children, and land, with persecutions, and in the age to come. How does this work practically? How do I walk in all this? Where is it real? Well, I think your two daughters left their family. And by going to a different land for the gospel, they have received housing, people that they received as mothers, and brothers and sisters, you see, they have received. And in that, they see light and they see how Christ is working and they get to see the body of Christ working together. Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. He said, whatever house you go in, let your peace be established, right? You receive as you walk out. When someone's saved, they become a new brother. So if I lose my family, I'm entering into a new family. And it's 100-fold.
I don't think it all means they forsook their family or their house, or they lay it aside.
Yeah,
they do something. It could be at home, or, you know, but
some do. I mean, if you're a Muslim, to give your life to Christ, you're rejected from your whole family.
Yeah. I mean, these guys went back to their fishing boats and their nets and everything.
And Jewish.
They kept going back,
right,
their livelihood.
Then,
but they laid it aside.
Keep in mind, this is speaking to one individual with great riches. This isn't take it personal as far as you want, as the Holy Spirit pinpoints what needs to happen in your life. Look, if my food becomes a possession that's too great that causes me to keep my eyes off Jesus.
Case open.
I already knew the case was there. Be real. Be sincere. And surrender. Because there's life, there's a promise of life. You're not losing anything. You're gaining eternal life. And it's sound in knowing Him. And He has made us kings and priests. So you are the ruler of your own heart. So we need to be sincere and sober.
I think that Jesus is definitely a main part of this passage, is that the Lord wants us to know that salvation is a miracle of God. It's something He does. I guess maybe a camel might have been one of the biggest animals in that land. And eye of a needle, maybe the tiniest thing, the sewing needle. And, it's an impossible. So that the disciples could not, they were all shook up about that, But it's like, it's nothing for God.
Right.
The worst sinner, the Pharisee who felt righteous, he could come to salvation. So it's just the work of God. I think that is really important.
Well, and we have a good example earlier in Luke. We see the term one thing needful, right? This man needed one thing. And there was another person that needed one thing. Or actually, the rest of us need one thing. And that's Martha.
Mary. His wealth was the
Lord.
If he just understood that.
That's the same for all of us, though. Everything I have.
I'm being promised.
So, it's not mine. You've received. But Jesus said to Martha, when she came to him, get her to help me. Get my sister to help me. And there's something important that Jesus said. He says, Martha, Martha, you are distracted with many things. But one thing is equal. And Mary has chosen it, and I will not take it from her. There's many distractions out there, and there's only one thing equal. And when you choose to enter into that, the Lord will not take it away from you. It's a promise. Paul says, I die daily, and he counts it all loss. I think it's a sober statement. And then he says, but I continue to count out loss. So to continue to go after him, you have to continue to count out loss. If your family thinks you're nuts for running hard after Jesus, and you trust Him and you're running after Jesus, not for you to be right, or for whatever reason, He will meet you and there will be greater family and greater reward. But more importantly, you're going to see Jesus. And you're going to see Him living and active and moving. And He's going to meet you and hit you right where He's going to show Himself to you so you can enjoy and you can rest and stop working and laboring. And we come to Him to let Him work it out in us. And we just agree. And if you've left sorrowful before, there's godly sorrow and there's worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow to change your mind. I believe what you're saying, I'm going to walk in it. Worldly sorrow is regret. Can't answer these things for you. I can only show you where the Lord has me and what He's doing in my life and what He's showing me. Try to make it coherent. But He wants you. And He really wants you to want Him. And you're going to want Him the more you see Him. So the more things you remove, the distractions, and as He pinpoints, let Him pinpoint it. Oh, it's the one that's causing your heart and lack. So, any other thoughts? I don't do these teachings during the end of the summer because there's too many rotten veggies. So you can throw them if you don't like what you hear. I'm going to tell you right now, this was, I've been working on this and
you did a great job.
I haven't even touched what I wanted to share.
I love how he parallels. It's like the rich man with the disciples. He put them on the same level. They say, I love all. And then he just finally gets to the point. He says, look, no man's got it.
Guys, if you really look at the promises of the Lord, the Lord's not telling you not to take Him serious.
You flipped over to Acts and believe they got it. They got it.
Do you want it?
Well, we're not perfect, but we strive to be perfect as one was.
And we don't have all understanding, but we have Him. And more importantly, He has you. Yeah, Chelsea.
I have a question. Yes. I'm sorry, this is maybe. When me reading that, the fact that he was, the question he asked is, how do I inherit eternal life? I think it's very intentionally that he is a man with a lot of wealth. Because in my opinion, when you're poor, you're just maybe struggling, where am I going to get my next meal, right? It's very, you're in a very down and survival mode versus when you are, have a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe luxury more on these kind of questions of like eternal life. And I feel like for me that was why it's very intentionally done. A big portion of this is about him talking about love, and that anytime you have a, whatever is in the place of God in your life,
that's
needs
what,
to be replaced with him, which is the
right.
But I feel like it is very intentional talking about love because that is a God that is incredibly hard to get rid of. So for me, it was like how many people, what they call math parents, come out now seeing about how something that in the future, when I'm dead, where is my eternal life, much of it is. And that was more my question of like, how do we relate this more to, I know it says about things in the present time, but a lot of this is just talking about eternal life versus, I feel like a lot of people right now who are just struggling
right.
trying to survive.
Well, okay.
More of your focus versus these abstract things.
Okay, right. And so when you read, so what I believe, honestly, is there is no eternal life in the future if I don't enjoy it today. So I can't answer a question about how can I enter something later without you entering into it now. You see, I believe the church is being getting taught to get out of hell free prayer instead of a life of surrender to Christ. Like, all I have to do is say this prayer and my name's written in a book? Yes. To enjoy it, you have to walk with Him. So it's a life now that determines the life in the future. If I don't know Christ, if I have no desire to know Christ now and He tells me eternal life is knowing Him. And see, that's where I didn't get to read that. And John, he says, eternal life is knowing me. So it's not a place, I mean it is, and it's not a future event, they are there, but there's something more important, let's deal with here and now. You want eternal life, let's enjoy it now. You don't need to wait, it might cause you persecutions, you're going to have to lay down your life, this is what's going to have to happen. I don't know where it's going to fall apart, but we need to enter into that relationship now, no matter what the cost. Because if I don't enjoy Jesus here and I'm just waiting to have my take, what's heaven? What is it? I mean, if you think about it, if I have no desire for enjoying it now, what's eternity? Eternity is going to stink. I'm going to be stuck in a place that I had no desire for. No, that's not going to happen because it'll change you quick. But that's the reality. I mean, you can enjoy as much of Jesus here today as you relieve yourself of your will and your own understanding and you choose to walk by faith. Doesn't make an easy life, but it's a life of freedom, a life of peace, and a life of joy when we walk by faith. That's all I can say. I don't know if that helps answer, because getting people to understand that you're an eternal being now, whether you're in Christ or not, and so you might as well start enjoying the eternity now, gets you to a place where you can open up that conversation of so many people are looking for the future to grab a hold of something as a ticket. Like, I want to go to Hawaii. How do I punch that ticket? Go get that ticket. Yeah. Anyway, we won't get into all that. But so getting to the place where we understand what true eternal life is. Yes, it is a future place, but that future place is still wrapped up in we're going to spend eternity doing it. And He's going to continue to reveal Himself and open Himself up to us and continue to talk to us in love. Any other?
No, yeah. Comments, Scott. Is that, I want to clarify.